Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Just before I get into our next chat, it is worth mentioning that it may not be suitable for little ears who are on their Easter holidays because this is of a sensitive adult nature. There is a sad reality, but about one in five pregnancies in Ireland end in miscarriage, which is about 15,000 women every year. And that figure is most likely much higher because a lot of miscarriages happen before a woman even realises that she is pregnant. The grief and the bereavement that's associated with these events are still often taboo and can be a very isolating experience for a lot of women. So joining me now to open up the conversation is Liz Gleeson, a psychotherapist and educator in the field of grief and loss. Liz, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're most welcome. And thank you for covering this topic.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to, I suppose, allow people, and I do say people because not just women, the men as well, the space to talk about things openly and not feel any kind of judgment or not feel like any question is out of limits.
Absolutely, because when we don't talk about these things, we think there's something wrong with us when we experience it because we haven't heard anybody else echo what we're going through. It's so essential.
And I think one of the first things I wanted to ask was, when it comes to the emotional impact of a miscarriage, is it different to the impact of any kind of grief, or is it on a similar playing field?
It's so different for everyone. And I think just to start off, Lottie, there's probably people listening here who are going through miscarriage right now or who've just been through one. And, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss if that's why you're listening today. It is so different for everybody. It's impossible to say, here's what it's like, and that's true. And just to start off by saying that some of what I say today, you know, might resonate with people and it may not, and that's okay. We're speaking very generally here. And the emotional impact, like the minute we get that news, something hits us profoundly. If we're talking about sadness and grief, yeah, we may not see that sadness right away. We may be a bit shell-shocked or a bit numb or even angry, or we might feel scared, but we're definitely going to feel probably something, even if that's numbness. But the actual sadness associated with the loss might take some time. It might come immediately, it may not. Maybe this is our first miscarriage. Maybe it's yet another loss. You know, many people experience several. It also depends on where we were, how we were told, who told us, the questions we have, how they're answered will, you know, all have a big impact on how we begin to process that loss.
And how do you begin to process it? Like, what are the coping mechanisms that you would recommend people put in place when they find themselves in that situation?
Well, it's absolutely heartbreaking. You know, for most people, it's absolutely heartbreaking. All our assumptions about our life and the future and this little baby are shattered in an instant. The only way to get through grief is to actually grieve. It's to allow the emotions to come. And grief, as I said before, isn't necessarily just sadness. It can be rage. It can be questioning. It can be anxiety. That's a very common one. We feel vulnerable and insecure. We can feel hypervigilant. And I suppose just to give ourselves permission to let all of that be, without trying to change it. You know, these emotions are like the weather. They'll come in, they'll take us over, and they will go again before they come back again. So, you know, we are emotional beings. We try to be, you know, intellectual beings a lot of the time and make sense with our head and our thoughts. But I think with something that's so physical as grief, it's to really just let that process take place inside ourselves and then have a break from it. Let our grief come, feel it, take a break from it. Let it come, take a break. You know, oscillating in and out of it tends to be a good way to process whatever we're going through.
You mentioned the physicality there. I mean, obviously, the woman is going to bear the brunt of that. But the men are also going through quite a lot. How do you suggest that they both support the female and the woman who might be going through something and then also look after themselves?
Yeah, and I guess there's two things there in what you're saying, Lottie. Like, the first one is the physicality of grief. With miscarriage, you've got the physicality of miscarriage, which can be quite shocking to some women. It's not what they're expecting. It can be sometimes painful. Sometimes there's interventions needed. It can be prolonged and protracted, and that can cause a lot of anguish. And then often the other partner, whether it's a man or a woman, can feel quite, you know, helpless and just looking on and not sure what to do. And, you know, they've had a loss also, but people rarely say, how are you? They tend to go, you know, if Mary's the mother, how is Mary? And we call that a real disenfranchised grief, where the non-pregnant partner is often just sidelined and their grief isn't taken into account. So they tend to go into supporting roles and feel that's their role. And sometimes their grief can come further down the line. You know, it's kicked down the
road.
When
they finally get the space.
Yeah, or somebody is kind enough or conscious enough to say, how are you? How are you?
But in order for somebody to be kind enough to do that, they have to know. And a lot of couples might experience a miscarriage before they've gotten to the point where they felt comfortable even, you know, sharing their pregnancy or going public with the pregnancy to their family and friends. So what if you experience a miscarriage and you haven't even told your family that you were pregnant in the first place? You know, is it wise to keep it to yourselves and try to deal with it that way? Or should you open up to people and say, listen, this is what's happened and this is what we're going through, so as there's some kind of a system in place?
Yeah, and again, it depends. And when it comes to grief and loss, we have to say it depends so much, because for some people, there's a really good reason they haven't told their family. You know, if your family isn't supportive before you have a miscarriage, they're not going to become suddenly supportive afterwards, probably. Mm. And so that discernment is really essential. Who's safe to tell? You know, who's going to have my back? Who's going to support me? You know, so like I said, there's probably a good reason they're not being told. But we do know that in grief, one of the biggest protective factors that helps us to integrate and adapt to our loss is family, is friends, are our social connections. You know, when we feel a community wrapping their proverbial arms around us, it really can bring so much comfort and ease and, you know, take away that fear and that sense of, you know, not being so alone in it all. People need to know in order to do that. You know, they need to know. So I would say use your discernment. Not everybody deserves your story. When you're very vulnerable and you share something with someone and they're not able to support you, or they come back with, well, when I had a miscarriage 8 years ago, you know, that's not going to help us. So be discerning with who you share your stuff with. But, you know, if you have people who love you, do tell them. Let them have your back. Having support is so essential. And some of us are terrible at letting support in. You know, we can sit there and feel so isolated and so lonely. But at the same time, we've probably pushed three people away who are trying to text us, or they're saying the wrong thing, or they're being a bit insensitive. You know, so we're not letting them in. I think sometimes we have to take a deep breath and say, they don't know what I'm going through. They're going to get it wrong, but they want to come in and make me dinner and I'm starving. So,
yes, you know, exactly.
You know, and some people will be practical and some will be emotional.
And
we need them all.
So what about, say you're in the situation where you just don't feel safe or comfortable talking about it with family or friends. Are there other places that people can reach out to find some kind of a support system, or people who might be going through something similar?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. I think nowadays, social media, there's so many people, you know, who are speaking on podcasts about their loss. There's Instagram pages that I don't know what they are, but I know they're out there. And I think it's essential for us to hear our experience through the mouths of somebody else, you know, or as close to it. Because it is so lonely, it is so isolating. And when we're that vulnerable and it's physical, it's emotional, it's mental, we can feel like we're going a bit crazy. You know, sometimes we can feel like I'm on the edge of sanity here. I don't know what's happening to me. I don't feel myself. I don't know how to cope with this. And just to hear somebody else say, here's what I'm going through, can just be such a balm, you know, and just comfort us to know we're not alone. This does happen. What I'm experiencing is normal. You know, so this is why essential conversations like this are so essential, just to normalize the experience and allow people to speak about it with each other more and more.
Absolutely. And just to have that space to know it's okay to feel the way I'm feeling, you know, that it's okay to go, okay, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I do know it's okay to feel like this.
100%. You know, we're coming out of a culture the last few years that's just based on toxic positivity. You know, everybody be happy, everyone be skinny, everyone be do yoga 24/7.
And labels as well.
You know, absolutely. And part of being human is having our hearts broken open. Part of being human is going through dark nights of the soul, experiencing loss, trying to make sense of it, trying to piece ourselves back together again, and it's different to what we were before. This is part of being a whole human being. It's not negative. It's challenging, but it's not negative. It's essential. And if we are living wholehearted, full lives, we will have our hearts broken again and again. It doesn't make it easy in the moment. It's devastating. But I think as a culture, we need to make space, you know, for these precious,
so
tender
important
times in each other's lives and in our own lives.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to touch on was the idea of planning for another pregnancy. I mean, I can only imagine how traumatic that would be for somebody. But I assume, again, as we have said many times now, the journey can be so individual.
Exactly, exactly. It's so individual. Like for some people, they go through miscarriage in quite a pragmatic way. They're aware of the signs. It's, you know, 1 in 4 or 5 pregnancies. And, you know, they're disappointed, upset, all the way to devastation. Like there's a whole range of responses that we can have. None of them are right. It just depends on our individual circumstances. And we can be quite pragmatic about it. And for others, then it's really devastating. And you use the word trauma there. I would use that a lot less probably, but certainly a really adverse situation that's incredibly difficult, that's emotionally devastating. For some people, it is, you know, that end of the spectrum. And what we lose, I think, with miscarriage is that innocence, that naivety of when I grow up, I'm going to have a baby and this is what our lives are going to look like. And then those assumptions are shattered when we have a loss. Maybe a parent dies or we go through a miscarriage. Those assumptions are shattered. We have to start again. And there's a fear that comes with that. We can be quite anxious. Certainly as a psychotherapist, I would tend to support the women who are really struggling with that. I assume there are women who are okay as well and go on and have another successful pregnancy relatively unscathed. But for a lot of people who've experienced a loss, you know, they are waiting. Is that going to happen again? What was that? Am I having a bit of a bleed here? Do I need to see the doctor? Am I feeling the baby? And sadly, that can endure through the pregnancy. And then they're not only grieving their first loss, but grieving the joy they should have been having being pregnant. And again, like I say, it's so different for everybody. But it just needs to be met with such tenderness and compassion and normalizing this.
And you know, I think that's always why when it comes to pregnancy, full stop, I feel like, and I don't know if this is a uniquely Irish thing, people are so inquisitive and you just don't know what somebody's going through or what somebody has been through. And people think that maybe they're just asking questions and they're just starting a conversation. But you should really think twice before you ask somebody such personal questions when it comes to things like pregnancy, or when are you going again? When are you going to, oh, you're going to give them a brother or a sister? You've no idea what somebody's going through or has been through.
Yeah, 100%. People can say the most insensitive things. And it's hard to be in the world when you're constantly fighting against those sort of questions and you don't want to share the answer. It can make it a very lonely place to be. And we never know. You know, there's a lot of women who can't conceive. I think that's 1 in 5 as well, or 1 in 4. And who might be going through IVF after IVF after IVF, or who've had multiple miscarriages. And yeah, it's nobody's business. If that woman wants to talk about it, absolutely. And I wholeheartedly encourage them. But it's nobody else's business to ask. And we should never assume. You know, we should start from that point of not assuming. You know, anything to do with anybody's bodies is out of bounds for our curious minds.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And I know, finally, just sometimes it becomes too difficult to manage for some people after a miscarriage. So at what point, Liz, would you suggest someone would reach out, get some professional help, not just rely on the community around them?
Yeah, and again, different for everybody. Mm. When the woman herself feels she needs support is a good time. Not when somebody looking out on the inside goes, she Tells needs them. Help, you know, because there's grief counselling and grief support can be really beneficial for certain people. And it can also be detrimental in some cases.
Got it.
Particularly if our counsellors aren't grief trained, if they've no experience in that area. You know, this is something I'm very passionate about, is the need for all mental health professionals to be grief trained, to be grief educated, you know, to understand all the nuances of this hugely broad topic.
So is that something you would recommend people specifically seek out, as somebody who specialises in the area as opposed to just counselling?
100%. Yeah, somebody who either has a lot of experience in the area or has trained in the area, and ideally both. And we have to, we make assumptions that people have this training. And perinatal loss, again, is a whole other area. You know, does your counsellor have training in perinatal loss? Do they have experience here? And know all these nuances of how difficult it can be to be pregnant after loss. So first of all, like, make sure that the person you're going to has actually training in the area.
Sure.
Don't just take it for granted because they're a counsellor, that they understand this area. But also, when somebody goes to a professional, sometimes friends and family pull away. Ash has got a therapist now. Ash has got a counsellor now. So they, like, that lets me off the hook. I can go and hang out with my friends now at the weekend or get back to my life. You know, we can withdraw those social supports that I said are such a protective factor. You know, most people, what we need is a compassionate community, a compassionate family that's not scared to show their grief with each other. We need a handful of really good friends who know that this isn't just a few weeks or a few months. Mm. This could go on for longer. When we start bringing the professionals in, you know, we're maybe withdrawing that, you know, so we have to be careful of that. Also, it could be that someone says, oh, I really think they need support, because that someone can't tolerate their grief. We find it hard to sit alongside somebody who's in despair, because maybe we've never sat with our own despair. And we need to be able to tolerate somebody's loss without advising them, without trying to fix them, without telling them there's something wrong with them, without saying you need a counsellor. No, our job is to stretch. And like, I had a teacher who once said, put your top lip on your bottom lip and keep it there. You know, show up and shut up was her word.
Open your ears, yeah.
Just be there. Just tolerate the emotion. Be practical as well. Like, the dogs still need walking. The kids still need fed.
Absolutely.
The hedge still needs cutting. And research shows that those really practical supports, like, if I'm not able to sit alongside your grief, I'll cut your hedge. And that's great. Not everyone can do the emotional bit. We need those practical bits as well.
So do what you can to help.
But do it is the big question, the big, you know.
Absolutely,
message,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and again, if anybody listening is going through something like this, we are so, so sorry. And you should always, if you can, find somebody that you can talk to, whether it's your partner or a professional or a friend or a family member. Liz, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a difficult subject to talk about, but hopefully it will bring some comfort to anybody who's going through the experience this morning and might have been confused with what they're feeling or wondering whether or not they want or need to reach out to someone. Liz Gleason, psychotherapist and grief and bereavement educator. If you feel like you need somebody to talk to or you've been affected by any of the content we're talking about, please do visit rte.ie/helplines.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.